I would like to inform all participants that this call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Go ahead, you may begin.
Okay, thank you. I'll pull up the other document. It's Liz Gaster in just a second. We have Aubrey and Cheryl and Ilya and Glenn and Liz on the line.
And Jay Scott will be joining in a second, Liz.
Great. Thanks. Unless anyone else wants to...
Well, Liz, I'm happy to start with the overarching document that's on the screen now. This is Cheryl speaking. I think that's fair enough. It's a short document, and we just need to read from top to bottom. So
there's really just one primary thing that's here, because we can skip the background, I think, and who's contributed, because, and then all the detail is covered in the other document. But the one key item here is that several people... noted that the use of the term chartering organization was confusing, and one person, GoDaddy, James Liddell, recommended that all references to chartering organization be replaced with GNSO Council throughout the document, with an explanatory note that the working group may be formed and governed by other organizations within ICANN, and of course, we read this.
I'm just busy putting up my status, which is a huge, great red cross, because I disagree with that.
This is Jay Scott. I'm sorry to be late, everyone. I just completely spaced it. I'm getting so many emails regarding ICANN things right now. I must have just lost the email.
Jay Scott, I think Avery in particular understands that position very well.
Yeah, basically, you have to devote an hour a week to doing your schedule, man.
That is, of course, your ICANN schedule, because your real life simply disappears.
Yeah, my real life is not important, correct?
I worked out I'm actually, as a total volunteer, working more hours, literally, that's face-to-face hours, not prep hours, for ICANN than I do for my own business quite some time ago.
Unfortunately, I don't have that luxury, and I have a dying pet that sort of... been taken to
Terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. All right, everyone. It's a doggy, and she's very, very sick.
Oh, is she old as well as unwell?
She's 9, so for her size, she's a boxer. That's kind of old.
That is old for a boxer. Oh, my heart goes out to you. They're members of the family.
Yeah, they are. Here we are. I'm signing into the Adobe Acrobat now, and what have we got a big red cross for, Cheryl?
Because I disagree with GoDaddy. I thought I'd start off strong. I don't agree with replacing the words chartering organization with the words GNSO Council
and then giving
an explanatory note.
Yeah, I think that's a little too limiting because that's not necessarily, what we intend to do. I mean, we tend it to be used by anyone who wants to charter within the ICANN process.
Exactly.
And so I think we leave it as is. But I don't have a vote, so we know how Cheryl feels. How do you feel, Aubrey?
I think it's fine to call it, chartering organization. I think, and I need to go back and look at our exact text, it might be good to put in a footnote that sort of says that, the work was initiated as part of blah.
GNSO improvements, yeah.
Yeah.
And but that's already there. So
we could just put a footnote that just says, generally the chartering organization would be the generic name supporting organization. However, other organizations may choose to charter working groups, and if so, they should feel free to use this model.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, I'm planning on using this model as a draft form on Friday this week, so it is going to happen.
Yeah, so I think that's what we could. I'm
going to deploy this in 9 work groups on Friday this week.
So I just think we can put that in there. Just put a footnote that says that generally this would be for the GNSO. However, there will be other groups that would be chartering working groups within their structure or substructure, and they should feel free to use this.
Jay Scott, I think you're being generous, but I guess if I have to agree, I am the interloper here. But yeah,
I mean,
I have no problem.
It adds some clarity to it, so you know, the clearer we can be, the better. So I think we just go ahead and do it.
And in the document that goes along in terms of how did we respond to the question, you'll be able to add that even in its draft form, while it's been used for one GNSO working group, which is the PDP group on vertical integration at the moment, it has also been used for 9 other ALAC working groups. And use that as you know, not in the footnote, but in the explanation of how we responded to this particular issue.
Great. All right.
Elliot's on the line as well.
Hi.
Super.
What do you?
I have the PDF file. I think it should remain the same as proposed.
Looks like we have unanimity from the members on the call, so we will keep it the same, and let's just drop that footnote in there.
Okay, I'm capturing this. I think the next issue, then the overarching issue that's on this document, and then I'll pull up the second document, is a proposal on the part of GoDaddy to change the title from working group guidelines to working group procedures.
I'm ambivalent.
I'm not in favor. Partially because we go throughout the document. I mean, it's not a big deal, but we go throughout the document sort of saying that different groups may require different things and that therefore this isn't a one-size-fits-all document, you know, et cetera. Now, if we want to be diplomatic about it, we could call it procedural guidelines, but...
I, you know, as a chair who sort of sat above and back, I agree with Aubrey that this is sort of a minimum guideline. You know, you need to at least do this. And I think that guideline is better because it is saying that, you know, it recognizes that it's not rigid. And so I think that guideline expresses the intent of the document better than procedure.
Liz, Cheryl here. Can I ask? Did GoDaddy in their fulsome response give greater detail? Did they feel for some reason that without the power of the word procedure in the title, and there is always the diplomatic fallback that Avery presented us with, that there was less, in inverted commas, power in this document? What was their rationale?
It's Liz. I'd have to look at the actual comment that was submitted to answer that.
Well, I just think it's a picker of it, and we're the drafting group, and I say, I put it to the group for consensus. Is there a grand consensus that it can stay the way it is?
I can go from ambivalence to agreement.
Sure. Aubrey?
Yeah.
Ilya?
Yes.
Okay, so I say we keep it. Next.
Okay, again with these overarching issues, other general comments include providing further information on who is responsible for drafting a working group charter. That came from the registry stakeholder group.
Jesus. I thought we were real clear, but anyway.
It says the charting organization drafts it, correct?
Yep.
I don't understand how much more specific they want us to get. Okay, next.
Like I said, when I put up a big tick, that's agreeing with you, Jay Scott.
I don't understand who they want us to say. Given the fact that we have taken the position that it is more than one group that can use this, you certainly couldn't say it's going to be the chair and vice chair and a subcommittee of the GNSO because it's not necessarily specific to the GNSO.
And that should be up to the GNSO anyway.
Right. So it actually is more an allocation of resources on the GNSO generally than it is title.
What about the change in can and may throughout the document that they also proposed?
I think that's a good one. Can means, I mean, you know, we want to get precise about language. Can means you are physically able from doing something. may mean you are permitted to do something.
Yeah.
And so just from a dictionary point of view, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, I'm happy to go to the may, I must say. That's one, it's one I can certainly go with.
Yeah, I'm fine with may, and that's actually grammatically more correct.
Mm.
Okay,
sorry,
and then Mike suggests a working group process flow, working group context diagram, and a guide for newcomers.
I love flow diagrams. I'm all for flow diagrams, and I'm all for guides for newcomers. I think that's a very good idea.
I agree, but that will require some additional work. So if we will just notate that is something that we are going to do after we get through the comments, and we can come back and do that later. But right now, I think I feel like that would be something that would be valuable. Aubrey and Ilya, how do you all feel?
I'm wary of diagrams.
And why is that?
Because what diagrams do is give you a strict path to follow. Even if you're meant as a guideline, as soon as you put in a flow chart and you've only put in 4 words in each box, that tends to be what people follow. That tends to be what they look at. That tends to be what they pull out to guide them. So while I think having such things exist in the universe of materials provided by staff members to help working groups, I'd be leery of adding an official one to the guidelines.
Others? Ilya?
Yeah. I think the diagrams is a good idea.
Okay. So it looks like we at least need to try to give it a shot, Aubrey, and see what we put together.
Liz, could I just ask a question?
You can.
About what a diagram would even look like, or what a flow would even look like, for those who think it's useful. And I know Mike isn't on to kind of represent his own viewpoint. You know, I can see in my mind's eye what a diagram would look like in the PDP context, but I'm not sure I don't see it as a flow exactly.
I could
say there's a more organic. In order to keep a working group kind of flexible to do multiple types of things on behalf of multiple support organizations.
Hi, this is Aubrey. I can quickly send you, I don't know how many of you are on the PI working group that Mike is co-chairing, but I can send you a copy of the diagrams that he sent us for that working group.
That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic. Thanks, Aubrey.
Okay, I'll send them out in a second.
I see it more as, Liz, would be sort of a flow that just shows the order of suggestions.
The order of things.
The order of things. Like, charter comes down, this is the next step. Not necessarily, just sort of a flow. And we can see how that works out. But I would see it more in terms of order. So that for the more visual people who are not going to read the text in probably the same level of detail that others will, it provides a prompt.
J. Scott, Cheryl here. I agree. I saw in my mind's eye when I read that, I saw it as a very high-level document, and I've been absolutely delighted with what Scott Pinzon has done in terms of creating I've used the term in the chat, simple flow diagram, and I'd really like to retract the word flow, but I can't. A simple relationship diagram with some semblance of the order of things is what I should be saying. To quite simply capture graphically the whole of the at-large world and its relationship to the board.
Right.
Now, if the boy can do that to our 5-way global satisfaction, I think having a play with it is going to be worthwhile.
Yeah, I think we should at least give a chance to see what we can flow out, and then, Aubrey, we can take up your concerns once we have sort of seen it come into fruition rather than dismissing it out of hand. So I just think we should notate that once we get this text finalized, that'll be the next step.
But, sorry, J. Scott, if I can jump in again.
Sure, Cheryl.
I think what's important in what I'm suggesting about giving it to someone like Scott is that they should not be integral to the process of how we've got to these guidelines.
Okay, that's fine. Do you think Scott would do it for us?
Sure, he would.
Liz, I'd rather handle the internal work assignment.
Whatever happens with the workflow, Liz, that's fine. But let someone who literally isn't integral, if you give a thumbnail sketch that already leads, then you're biasing the flow to become something concrete in a way that's in the mind's eye of those that are immersed in it. The usefulness of these diagrams is for the uninitiated to look at them and get a sense of understanding of what is going to go on.
Okay.
And just from a staff perspective, I think what you suggested is useful, and I'm happy to try to respond to it, but I also want the working group to really create the basic structure here and pick up on that before we turn it over to staff.
Okay.
Well, there's usually an approval process. As a thumbnail comes back, you rip it to shreds. Something entirely different comes back, you rip that to shreds. I ripped it to shreds 3 times before it came back the way we wanted it.
Yeah, okay. I think the best thing to do is let's get this together. I like the idea of having a fresh set of eyes look at it to sketch it out for us so that it doesn't get in, I don't want to say infected because it's a negative word, but become influenced by our vision. Because what it's supposed to do is not be a vision of what we think it should be. It's supposed to be a visual display of what we've created textually. And so it will be I think it will also be sort of a good exercise for us to see how our text is being translated by the uninitiated.
You are so much more articulate than I. Thank you, J. Scott.
So that's what I think, and so that's what I'd like. But let's get this text finished, notating that a flow chart is something that we are going to explore appending once we get the text finalized. Is that okay with everyone?
Yep.
Let's
and
move
I think
on.
That's everything in the overarching, so I'm going to pull that down.
Okay.
And go to the detailed comments. And I think we can go to the first set of comments.
The boxes.
So, Jay Scott, do you want to...
We see here.
I know everyone's probably reading this first one.
Page 3.
Page 3 of, 52?
We all heard that, J. Scott.
Section 1 is straightforward and easy to read and understand. The committee believes this section could be enhanced in the following general recommendation were implemented. Provide information about the timing of creation of a charter, including the identity, role, and responsibility of the charting organization. 2. Take precautions to ensure that the statement of intent and disclosure of interest do not inadvertently contain sensitive personal information. Discuss in more detail the steps between the acceptance of the applications and the first meeting, in particular the selection of working group and distribution of information, charter biographies of nominated chairs, prior to the first meeting, and consider the creation of supplemental materials such as frequently asked questions page on the website where supplemental ish could be posted in between the annual update. The committee provides specific suggestions for some of the subsections one below. Well, I think the frequently asked questions thing sort of falls into that newcomers situation. I mean, if we're going to create something for newcomers, we certainly could create a frequently asked questions page.
Agree.
Because it seems to me that the most frequently asked questions would be from people who are unfamiliar with the processes of ICANN.
But maybe it's an either or. Maybe it's a guide to newcomers without...
Maybe.
It's in either or, except for, you know, the question that's in the end of it. Who the hell designed these processes anyway?
The Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the curtain.
So sorry, Avery, I'm not clear. You want us to never admit to that, or you want us to admit to that?
You know, that's a frequently asked question. Come on.
So I think that... So with regards to the frequently asked questions, I think we'll wrap that into the new guide, and we'll decide whether we'll do a guide, and if we want to distill that down into some frequently asked questions, we could do that as well. So that's something we will explore. So number 4 is going to be explored. Does everyone agree?
Yes. There is something to frequently asked questions, but people have to ask questions frequently before you know what they are.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think we need to second-guess some of the FAQs.
Yes, I think a lot of times you have to, and then you can amend them as you start seeing repetitiveness in additional questions. Provide information about timing of creation of a charter, including the identity, role, and responsibility. Again, I'm not sure what they mean, because I think our footnote handles that number one.
You see, I think I do know what they mean, Joseph.
Okay.
I thought they meant a requirement that's going to identify whether this work group, whatever it is going to do under its charter, is going to be an open free-for-all, everyone who applies gets in, or whether it's going to be a specific selection process to allocate. For example, in the world I'm working in, I may have a setup where we will be having two, no more than two, representatives from the ICANN geographic regions in a work group. And so in that space, we would allocate that between applications being arrived, date insert here, and the first meeting date insert here, the following people, probably a subset of the chartering organisation or a third party who gives a damn, but allocated and mentioned, will be selecting, or it's a free-for-all. That type of information. That's how I read it.
Okay. Others? So do we need to put in a paragraph that says that there could be different considerations for different types of working groups? Some could be more structured with identified...
Design limitations, sub-processes based on the requirement of the particular work group need to be identified and published.
Okay. Then I don't think that's a problem of adding a paragraph that just states that one choice could be, there are two types of, you know, fundamental structures. One is open and one is more structured with identified representatives, and it would be driven by the chartering organization's view of the work that has to be accomplished and the timeline. So can you notate that? Because the drafting, we've left the initial drafting on most of this, Liz, to Marika.
Well, the thing is that, and I'm looking, because I'm not as familiar with the underlying document as she is, that I don't know a case when we'd want something more structured. We are moving, I mean, this is an open process. This came up in the vertical integration working group, too, and, you know, it is the intent of these guidelines and our adoption of a working group model to keep an open.
Well, but
in my opinion, we'd need to discuss when you would have a more structured.
I think that's for the charting organization to decide. And again, in this particular instance,
it makes more sense in this case just to say that were to meet this need, that the rules applicable to the working group are defined.
Well, IRT working group is a classic example.
Absolutely. The charting organization and that thing was the board.
Yeah.
And the board said, here's who you're going to have on it.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is because the charting organization is not necessarily the generic sporting organization, it could be anybody, that in certain instances, there might be instances where it needs to be more structured, and that's okay, and just put a paragraph in that says that.
And make sure it's clearly flagged, advertised, and the whole process is timelined and transparent.
Right.
Okay, so where would that be in a new section? Would that be in the...
It would have to be in Section 1, shortly after the charter is discussed, and the fact that we want SOIs to happen. Or DOIs. More letters.
Section 1 of this...
I would say it would be in 1.1... To the sense about this document, entire working group lunch begins with a different working group, blah, blah, blah. Maybe a paragraph after the last paragraph in 1.1.
Before purpose, okay.
Before purpose that
Before
just
purpose.
Say, you know, that in general, the working group process is an open process, blah, blah, blah. However, we acknowledge that certain chartering organizations may feel that there needs to be more structure, and here are the specific guidelines we have with regards to more structured.
And just rip off what that comment was.
So that's where I would put it. after the last paragraph of 1.1. It's just sort of a
catch-all.
You know, the default is open, but we understand that the default is there are always exceptions.
And timelines, advertised timelines, are really, really useful when that happens.
Yeah, and I, as far as two, I think that's superfluous because I don't think any of the SOI or disclosure of information interest documents that we've seen or I've ever filled out ask for personal sensitive information.
I wondered about that myself because it's like up to the person providing them. And if I want to give personal information, whose fault's that?
Yeah, I mean, but it basically, you know, I've given information, but I've never felt like I was disclosing, you know, like my bank account numbers or anything. I just felt like, you know, I was giving information that if you put my name into a browser on the web, you would find out 90% of it anyway.
Exactly.
So I think it's superfluous. And does anybody disagree that that needs to be, you know, that just seems like common sense to the filler, the person filling out the information.
And if it's not, I'm really concerned about the person filling out the information.
Avery, you seem to have a comment.
My comment is any time I have ever found anything that I considered common sense, there's been someone to whom it wasn't, and the need to be explicit became obvious.
We could put something in that section that just states that the statement of interest and disclosure of interest when sent out should clearly identify that all information appearing in the document will be complete and open and public.
Yeah, I think that's good. Because
and so you address it by saying we have informed the person supplying information of the purpose of this document and that it will be fully public.
Yeah, as I say, in any privacy issue, there is no common sense. So yeah, I think
I think that's probably the best idea. Ilya, do you agree?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I think that's just the best idea is just to say. So it's, you know, like, tell them what you're going to tell them, and tell them what you told them. So
yeah, the statements and disclosures are public, so if there's something private, don't put it in.
Yeah. Discuss in more detail the steps between acceptance of the applications and the first meeting in particular selection of working groups. Okay, well, we'll look at that when we get there.
Yeah.
So let's go down to 1.3, which is on page 4. You know, I assume it's going to be translated into languages.
Friendly amendment. I mean, it is a standard. That's boilerplate, isn't it? I mean, I wouldn't go with ensure that we reach the broadest possible audience. I think that's something that is unnecessary. But I think the statement, if something's being translated, you usually state what it's being translated into. In the world of ICANN, it tends to be the six UN languages.
You know, if it's going to be translated, I don't think we should put in that broadest possible audience.
No.
Because if I speak Swahili, I may not think you've reached the broadest possible audience.
And you're going to get huge pushback from Asia when you put those words in.
Yeah, so let's just put, if it's going to be translated, Liz, let's notate it there.
Yeah, list the languages.
Yeah.
Okay, 1.4 on page 5. I don't think that that's really...
We've said FAQs already.
Yeah. I mean, I all they're saying is that this needs to be... If you update this, then any ancillary materials with it would need to be updated. So that means if we did a newcomer packet, it would have to be updated. If you had a website, it would need to be updated. You know, just they all need to be in sync with one another.
But they do go back to this sensitive information. They're talking about people inadvertently disclosing sensitive information so that the recipients of the SOIs would have the power to redact.
I think we've handled that. We'll put in that comment in the section that relates to those that you need to inform them this. And we could also put in the responsibility of the secretariat. We could say the secretariat is going to review, and if they believe any information is sensitive, they would contact the submitter.
That's a good plan.
you know, and just say, I noticed here you've put down XYZ. I just want to make sure this is something you want to disclose because this will be public. I mean, that's like a double safety latch.
But that really puts a burden on the secretariat to know or identify.
Is it our secretary? Who sends these out? We'll look at it when we get there. Let's just keep that idea in our thoughts. Again, we are going to amend the section to say that they need to be forewarned. Okay, we're now on page 6.
Teams. I think they've got the wrong end of the stick, but that maybe is just me.
Well, I have no idea. I mean, if introductions and team formation, if we want to say introductions and working group formation, I don't have a problem of changing to be consistent.
In the title, yeah, because I think it only happened in the title.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with that. We can do that. Let's just notate that and do a check for consistency's purposes. It says it's in the titles of 2.1, 2.2, and 2.3. We can.
Yeah. That's so just in the title, it. That's fine.
Right.
All right. 2.1.2 on page 7. GoDaddy says, 2.1 describes the process requirements for gathering and vetting candidate members of the working group.
You've missed an ITA one.
Yeah, there's the one right before the INTA.
Top of that page.
Yeah, all they're saying is they're how wonderful they think it is, so I just skipped it.
Well, let us know.
They say the call for volunteers. This call will be very helpful to ensure that everyone, you know, so. Okay, it wasn't really substantive. It was just praise. Thank you all. You're very bright. I appreciate how well you did.
Thank you, Jay Scott. We needed that passed on.
Yes, I just want to say you're brilliant, all of you, each and every one. I love you dearly.
2.1.2,
describe the process requirements for gathering and vetting candidate members of the working group. It takes the genosec of determining whether it tasks the gen is a real person, but it's not elaborate on how this will be determined.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to elaborate how. There's all kinds of methods that I know, and I guess Glenn is on this call, that Glenn has used, from the chair saying, well, I know the following six, you know, with her asking, with her talking to people on phones, with her having met. I mean, you know, how many ways it's, you know.
I don't think you need to spell that out. I mean,
that's
it just seems to me that you, again, you get to where you're – that's just so much detail. The reality is we've given an objective, and as long as you get to that objective, and if it's questioned, you can articulate how you got to that objective, I think you're fine.
I once tried to write a dissertation on the Turing test and never finished it.
Additionally, this section –
this is Glenn. Yes, I quite agree with Avery. I don't think it's necessary to spell out how you do that.
Okay. Additionally, the section calls for both a statement of interest and a disclosure of interest, but does not sufficiently explain the differences between them. That's probably true. And includes a template only for the SOI. Is there an opportunity to merge these and or include the DOI as a subsection or component of the SOI? Also, has the PPS CWGWT considered recommendations for verifying the claims made in the members' SOIs or how the discovery of false information or material omissions may impact members' standing within the working groups?
On this one, I think we need to go back to the other group that I spend too much time with, which is the Council Operations Team.
Yes.
Because I think they've done a whole DOI, SOI section and stuff that we should be able to just include by reference.
Okay.
Perfect, Avery.
And as far as, you know, verifying information, I just don't think we have time to do that. I think what it is incumbent upon members of the community to point that out and for those to be investigated. I mean, that's why we have appeals. That's why we have a chairman. That's why we have the GNSO or chartering organization, if it's not the GNSO, to manage this process. I keep hearing anticipatory breath, like someone wants to say.
Well, Cheryl has her hand raised.
Okay, Cheryl.
That was me hoping you were about to fling to me because my hand was up. And I know we discussed it at the time we were crafting this as well, but it's within the purview of the chair and to some extent the work group itself as it does that first meeting. But if one recommends that there is an issue with continuous disclosure, that also, you know, catches some of these things. You know, things do change between filling out your SOI or DOI and a sort of a pro forma piece in every meeting's agenda that says, is there any disclosure any of you need to make, you know, catches those sorts of things. But that's up to the group itself, in my view anyway.
Right. So, you know, when we get to those sections, or in this section, we could put something about ensuring that they are accurate and kept up to date, and we could state something that we can put in some language with regarding if they are challenged. That would go through the process of going to the chair. Then the chair and liaison, you know, that kind of...
Like any other challenge.
Yes. Does everybody agree that that seems to be the most natural flow?
The most kept updated would be the task of the participant.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Worked under continuous disclosure, then, you know, that doesn't moot well.
All of that stuff is covered in gross detail in the G code.
Okay, so what we could do is just cross reference and say,
I think so.
That these need to be in compliance with the XYZ, which is found at XYZ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
All right. CG, who's CG? Chuck Gomes?
I guess so.
What is this? Again, that's the same question.
That's covered.
Okay. Which
is, one is general and one is on this specific issue. I've got a special.
Okay.
But we covered that in gross detail.
INTA. I'm on page 9, by the way. Purple comment. INTA. The comment understands that the GNSS secret will collect the expression of interest, participate, verify the submission was from a real person, then send a card for blah, 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 blah. Therefore, the committee recommends taking precautions to ensure. Okay, we've already handled that. Making the following changes to the template for SOI, bearing in mind that the proposed template is being developed by the OSC GNS Operations WT. All we're doing is adopting what they tell us they're going to use as a template. So these comments are superfluous for our purposes, because if they want, they can make those comments when the OSC.
I would object to add country or location.
Yeah, I mean, but again, we're not deciding that.
Right.
So,
do you want to do them the courtesy of tossing it over the fence to them, though?
I have no problem with doing that, to say that, Liz, can we do that, or whomever is also serving on that, make sure that they know that this comment was received with regards to the template?
Yes.
And I'm allegedly the vice chair of that group, so I'll...
Okay.
Oh, it's your fault.
I don't remember.
All right. Again, registry is all about the difference, and we're going to handle that. M.O., who's M.O.?
Mike O'Connor.
Okay. Suggested changes to 2.12. Now, these sections, which bear on various roles and responsibilities of the working group, describe the role of the working group members. Be useful to take the opportunity to clarify what working role members are actually expected to do while participating in the group. Once the description of members' activities has been added to the appropriate sections, the list of activities could be used to enhance 2.12 members. Describe the skills and experience they bring to the group by including additional questions in the statement of interest. So what do others think about that?
He continues on the following page as well.
Yeah, I see.
Well, could I jump in? It's Liz.
Sure.
you know, it seems actually relevant to this newcomer's guide that is also being recommended.
Right.
Right? I mean, I think we're seeing a little gap here. We think some of the content is here because it's implied by how the working group overall functions in terms of, you know, team member roles and responsibilities, section 2.2. But there's some basics that probably just aren't set forth anywhere to help a newcomer.
Cheryl here, look, I understand what you're saying, and I certainly think that does need to be in the newcomer's guide, but I am sympathetic to the need for determining in very clear but simple language, and I think his examples have done that, what the role, the expectations are of the role of work group members. And I'm declaring a clear bias here where I tire of people being in work group in name only and contributing absolutely zero to the process.
Got my hand. Where's my hand?
But I don't think you can. I mean, that's very difficult to police. And
I understand it's not a policing issue. I think it's a setting up expectations issue. So I'm a little sympathetic to having some references. Anyway, Avery's on though.
Yeah, and I've got the complete opposite.
I think
it is fine that in most working groups, most of the people are thus there to watch and to basically speak up in the exceptional case that they see something that they don't agree with or that they think is problematic and are either there watching because, you know, they don't feel a need to talk if somebody else has already said what they're thinking or are there to report back to their group and come forth with comments if their group has them. So, in fact, I think it's one of the things that makes group workable is that you have a large body of people watching and a small body of people talking.
I think that's true, and I think also, I mean, we have provisions, so if someone's being obstructionist, it can be addressed. And that's really all we're concerned about, right? Is somebody who's obstructing progress, not somebody who's just simply in the room and not obstructing anything, but not necessarily positively moving the issues forward.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that. I'm a minority. I actually think people need to earn their keep, but that's just me.
Well, that's something that a broader debate. I think anything you do that looks like you're trying to limit people holds you up to ridicule and criticism at this level. It is now noon, so we're going to stop here.
Mm-hmm.
At 2.1.3, and we will pick this up next week, and I'm going to go ahead and put this call on my calendar since I seem to have spaced it.
But, J. Scott, how do I capture the upshot since we have a different – maybe we need to just take this up issue up.
I think we will – what I would like to do is start here again. Hopefully we will have some additional members of the team here. So I would like to start with 2.1.2 and everyone think about this over the week, and that's where we'll start. Is with this idea of members' roles and responsibilities or expectations.
I mean, if it's in the newbie's guide, then at least it's captured somewhere.
Yeah.
But we can
consider that, and we'll. But that's what I say is we'll table it for now. We'll bring it back next week.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, and I'll send out a notice for next week's call.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Ben.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
J. Scott, are you still on the line?